You know that they're gonna change the Aunt Jemima logo.
I heard about that.
After 130 years, they're making a change.
It's crazy, I think. But tonight, don't
call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, put suckers in fear. Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. I'ma knock Trey out.
Whatever, man. Whatever, bro.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode 68
of the ET podcast. This episode is we're working on a title. Anyway,
as you know, my name is Eric,
and I am Trey.
Yeah, definitely defines Trey.
Whatever, man. It's the ET podcast, like we said, episode 68. And on this episode, we were gonna box it out in Bible scriptures if you heard the previous episode. But I figure there's been too many things that were highlighted that are negative. And I didn't even tell you this, but I actually wanted to talk about the Lecrae incident that happened.
Or Lecrae incident.
But I don't want to talk about it. Just look it up on your own time. That's another negative highlight. So I don't want to talk about that. But yeah, so I figured it would be good for us to talk a little bit about the tribulation. Well, not even the tribulation period, just the end times in general, and then just kind of ease into edifying people and building people up to,
yeah,
you know, because it's not all doom and gloom. It's just good to be aware of stuff. You know, as you guys know from these past few episodes, we're just here to inform, to do our best to inform you and let you know what's going on.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, based with that, there is one part of the scripture in which, I mean, especially with today, with everything going on, there's been a lot of questions and I guess everything narrows down to the coming of Jesus,
mm-hmm,
of Jesus,
Cristo,
Jesucristo. And one of the things that, give me a moment. And I'm sorry for this, but it's based on a scripture here that I was able to find here in Matthew 24. And I'm going to read a little bit about it because I guess this is a part of the thing that is very relatable to what's going on today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, so it says, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately." So in secret, which is interesting how they came privately. But anyways, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?
Mm.
And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world?"
Mm.
All right. So then Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man lead you astray. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall lead many astray," which we've seen countless times throughout period of time. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye not be troubled. for these things must needs come to pass. That's what it says. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and earthquakes in diverse places. But all these things are the beginning of travail.
The end.
Now, this is scary because it's just... Anyways, then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. Dude, actually, okay, never mind. And then shall many stumble and shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray. And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for all testimony unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. I know it's a mouthful, but it's pretty scary knowing that most of this stuff that we talked about in here, or that Matthew 24 talks about, has already happened.
Yeah. I mean, nation rising against nation, and,
yep,
you know,
wars.
I mean, we've had.
And then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We've had countless wars. I mean, World War One, Two. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had Vietnam. We've had Civil War.
We might be on the verge
of another Civil War. You know, there was, you know, the Gulf Coast war. I'm not sure exactly what it was called, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's
been so many different things, though.
Yeah, and even the one Afghanistan war, all those stuff, stuff happening, and even, like, wars now that, you know, like, all these people, like ISIS, Taliban, you know, cartels, the
Cuban Missile
whatever,
Crisis.
All those crazy things.
Yeah.
It talks about in the Bible, but yet it says that shall not be the end. And then it goes into, you know, famines, earthquakes in diverse places, which we obviously see multiple times. But yet these are the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting here, though. Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And then shall many stumble and shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray. And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached and the whole world for all testimony. What do you think about that? I feel like this is kind of like in where we are currently with this situation here, because with even all this hatred of what we've been experiencing with the cops shooting, you know, innocent men, and dude, honestly, like iniquity, you know, iniquity is basically, from what I know, iniquity is basically the essence of sin. It's basically where it's just like when, okay, like the difference between like sin is like, yeah, you commit a sin, like let's say you drink or whatever. You get drunk or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be considered. But if you ask for forgiveness, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
But iniquity is when you continuously do it without actually having any guilt of it at all. And I feel like this is where we're leading. And I know we don't want, I mean, we've said that we want to be a controversial podcast, but one of the things that I see here based on this, and because iniquity shall multiply, the love of many shall wax cold.
Mm-hmm.
Even just like with this new law, I guess that passed, I don't know if you're aware of it, about the LGBT community, you know, that it was ruled, you know, through Supreme Court that it, they're going to, I guess, ban from people. What was the thing?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay, hold on. Sorry.
The only thing I know is that it's Pride Month or whatever. That's the only thing I've heard recently, you know.
Okay, here you go. So Supreme Court selects to hear whether it's is basically just regarding the LGBT community and transgender. Basically, in a way, supporting them, and I guess more like in workplace. So it says the U.S. Supreme Court has this designated October 8th as the date when it will hear arguments on whether title or okay. So on Monday, the Supreme Court website modified. Let me see. Give me 1 second. Dude, I'm blinded right here.
Well, while you find that out, I did want to bring up that one scripture. I can't find exactly where it's at, but the scripture where it talks about man's hearts will fail them out of fear, you know, in the end times and stuff. And I feel like we're at that point too, because I mean, even with coronavirus, when that first happened, people panicking, going to the store, buying tissue. And I mean, stuff is still out of stock. I mean, people just afraid that they're going to get sick and all that. And I mean, that's another example. I mean, there's so many different things, like the stock market crashing and all that. And I actually heard that people are buying RVs now. Like they're buying the campers or whatever, because they're scared to buy a house in case, you know, like the housing market, you know, implodes again or whatever, you know, like 2008. So there's that. I mean, there's countless things. Like if you want to be worried nowadays, you have so much to consume.
That's true.
And so your heart can fail you out of fear. I mean, it's very easy nowadays. And then, you know, every 5 seconds we got something about an asteroid, you know, possibly about to take us out, or, you know, nuclear warfare or whatever it is. And I mean, me personally, I don't think any of that is going to happen. I think what's going to happen is
we are going to destroy ourselves.
I don't even think that. Well, I mean, in what capacity? I don't know how it's going to be. But my thing is, I think what's going to happen is everything that the Bible is saying, you know, things are going to go awry and things are going to be really, really bad and stuff. But how that looks exactly, I don't know.
Well, it does talk about in the Bible that it's basically going to be back in the times of Noah.
Oh,
that basically, and it says that back then it was full of inequity. Like nobody believed that, because back then, obviously, you know, and the reason why it was very controversial as well, because at that time there was no rain. Yeah. In order for, you know, things to grow.
There's a scripture that says something about like spiritual rain and stuff, and it's going to be like a drought and stuff like that. It says something like that. I think it's in the book of Isaiah.
But like what I was trying to get to, and this is actually very interesting, because, okay, with what I was saying earlier about the Supreme Court. So basically the Supreme Court is ruling on sexual orientation and a gender identity extremely positive, saying that the court decision is against a very significant step towards breaking the cycle of discrimination against LGBT or gender diverse person. So basically, that's the thing, right?
So what does
basically
that mean exactly?
Banning any type of discrimination towards LGBT community or transgender. So like in the workplace, so they cannot be, I guess, banned or taking them differently from what they are, or they can like, let's say if an employer or whatever.
Oh,
can't
so
really,
you can't like deny like,
deny or you know
employment
make any type of discrimination remarks or whatever.
Well, I mean that just goes to like respecting one another.
And it's great. And
a degree.
And that's perfect. My thing is just like now, and I guess what I'm trying to put into like iniquity, basically nowadays you start seeing sin very normal. Like it's just whatever. And I'm not saying that it's sinful. I respect anybody that decides to be whatever they want to be, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Respect him, tolerate it. It's just the fact that, like, based on God's principles and with the nature of God, it's just not right. It's natural thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I might get a bunch about this, but anyways, my point is that. I respect, but that is not God's nature. That is not God's nature. We're like, you know, obviously, you know, we already know. But anyways,
right.
My thing is inequity is just going to increase. Like mm-hmm. It happened in the times of Noah, where actually we can even go back to them, to that verse and the reason why he wanted to destroy. Here, let's go. Let's go ahead and pull it up. I'm going to go see here.
And then, you know, that's a perfect transition because, we'll finish this and then I'll.
Yeah, and I know. I mean, we've been going back and forth with all this stuff, but this is like I guess it's here in Genesis 6. It talks about when humans began to increase in numbers and the earth. And the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters. Okay, that's not the one. Okay, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of human race had become, and the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of human heart was only evil at the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made humans being on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created, and with them the animals and birds. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now,
so are you? Do you think that could possibly happen again?
Yes. Now, and I mean that's probably the reason why. I mean, and look, this is still the same thing. Genesis 6, it goes 11. It says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and it was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. So make yourself an ark." And this is what, you know, it started to tell him to do this. But what I'm trying to get to, it was just basically, I want to show the picture of basically that time and how people lived around that time. Because in here it says that everything was wicked to them, even the animals and everything. But there is a part of the Bible that it talks about how corrupt the earth was. And what I'm trying to say with all this and what I was explaining is that this is, I guess, one of the steps, or not steps, but the beginning of basically our own destruction. Because if God is not present, then evil and wickedness is just going to go ahead and increase.
Okay.
And with all this happening, you know, putting things that are not God's nature into consideration and making it normal.
Yeah.
That's where I'm saying that's like the bad, and where we're in a way condemning ourselves, and
okay,
little by little with what we explained earlier,
mm-hmm,
that people's heart are going to grow cold. And with what we were talking about here in the verse that I initially read, it's just going to be, iniquity is going to increase.
Okay.
Now I'm sorry to interrupt.
I was just going to say, I guess I should expand on what I was saying earlier. about. I don't know how it's going to look. I think you're probably right, more than likely. It is going to be self-destruction, but that our own self-destruction, we're destroying ourselves and stuff. But what I was trying to say is, like, right after that, like, right before the tribulation period, it's just going to be us destroying ourselves up until that point, up until the rapture, you know? Or how is that going to go is what I was saying mainly.
Well, what I think is just that it's, I mean, in here it says it. I mean, it says here, and I feel like it will be our own destruction because it says here exactly what I was saying. And you also hear, no, not that one, but it says, then shall they deliver you unto tribulation and shall kill you. Wow. And ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake, which we've already seen.
Yeah.
A lot of persecution that's been going on in China.
Missionaries
getting killed.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. Even us, dude. I was listening to this preacher that he goes to like these like pride like festivals or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he talks straight about the word. Mm-hmm. And the thing that it's interesting is that, yes, they talk about love and stuff like that. But when they confront a Christian, they don't show the love that they are talking about, because yes, we have different beliefs, but it's just the way how they portray it, like being so hateful and stuff.
Because the problem is, like, there's such a preconceived notion with Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, Christianity always gets this distorted picture painted about it, about how, like, it's evil and stuff. And, like, I mean, it kind of even ties into stuff that's going on now with, like, you know, how they say the like slave masters and stuff use the Bible to enslave people, and which is and that's part of that whole Lecrae thing.
Oh,
so when you just watch it on your own, I don't want to talk about that.
And that's the thing, though. And I feel like we all, as humans, we took we miscommunicated our point of views.
Yeah,
and we made it so different, where like we're in a point that we hate each other. I'm not gonna listen to you because I know what you're all about. Because
everybody wants to be right.
Exactly.
That's another thing.
And we don't take the time to actually think, because nowadays everybody's so defensive. Everybody is like, no, I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
Like, I know what you're all about. I don't want to know nothing about you. Like, you're a Christian. You hate me. God hates me. And then all these questions like, oh, well, if God is love, then why doesn't he love me? But yes, he does. Just the fact that there are misconceptions of everything.
Yeah. God loves you. You have to believe that.
Yeah.
Like, it's more so on your side.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to believe that. You have to make that your own. You have to take that and say, God loves me no matter what. Like, you have to keep that for yourself.
Right. And one of the things, and like with what you were asking, like about if it's going to be us destroying ourselves, like I said, going and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, which we already see that hatred between, you know, against Christianity. But and then it says here, and then shall many stumble and shall deliver up one another.
Mm-hmm.
And shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall lead many astray. Mm-hmm. And because iniquity, there goes, shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. Yeah. But he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. So, yes, I do believe that it will be us. And the crazy thing is sometimes, and I feel because people are not educated, that's the reason why a lot of people, like, let's say like a Christian, because, dude, this is something that I don't understand. I know of a person that, you know, he was a worship leader, a worship leader at this church in Minneapolis. He was great. He was a great guy. You know, he'd be helpful. He actually even taught me some piano lessons and such.
Mm.
After a while, obviously, I didn't talk to him because we moved different churches, and my parents started, you know, their ministry and whatever. But in a way, I still had some type of connection with him via Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Later, realizing that he actually got married to a man.
Mm.
And I was like, how could this be?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it really took me by surprise knowing that this guy, you know, he was a great, perfect dude. But then later realizing that he married a man. Yet he still goes to church and talks about Jesus and everything. But, like, to me, it's like, I just don't understand. Like what happened? I don't want to judge anybody. And I'm not saying that, like,
Navi,
a quiet. That a person being gay can't believe in Jesus, but it's like knowing the truth initially, then going over, and that's where I'm talking about, like where it talks about false prophets shall arise and shall meet a lead many astray. Like if somebody's not rooted in the word, it's easy for somebody to come in and convince you, and tell you, yeah, if you're all about love and ask you all these questions. Yeah. Then you start doubting yourself. It's right. Like, dang, that is true.
Right.
That is true. And the funny thing is that I realize is that everything that humans intend to do or tend to do is out of love.
Yeah.
If you really think about it.
Now, whether it's selfless love or selfish right. love.
But everything comes down to love. Yeah. And the reason why people change is because they see the different perspective of love. Because, and I guess we can get deeper into this, but we know many cases that most of the people that become, you know, homosexual, it's because they had a wrong perspective of love early in the beginning when they were a kid. Or they had a really hard relationship that made them want to try something different to see if they can find love in a different side. And I think with anything, and even this, I felt knowing the true love, which is God, will basically, you know, kill all those doubtful thoughts. That at the end of the day, like it says, all men's thoughts are sinful, are wicked.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my view. But
speaking of that, though, and this is kind of unrelated, but I just thought it was funny that and after this, we'll start transitioning to the second half. But, I just think it's funny that Snoop Dogg, when he came out with his like gospel album, it was called The Bible of Love.
Right.
I was just like, that's redundant almost. Mm-hmm. The Bible of love, like it doesn't make sense. Like, are you saying like there's a different Bible? Because the Bible comes from God. It was inspired. Everything in there was all the authors that wrote it got inspiration from God. And God is love. So it's right. like redundant to say the Bible of love. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't know. That's just something
that
always bugged me.
Yeah. But, and I mean, I know we emphasize a lot about the LGBT community. We respect them. We love everybody. I mean, I know some people that are, you know, homosexuals, they're great friends, you know. I mean, you know, I don't see them differently or anything. It's just it is sad that some most of the times in cases is because of their perspective on love and with, you know, initially starting about the tribulation, the questions that a lot of people have, when is the end coming? We just got to stay awake, because, and here it clearly shows that at the end of the day is up to us. And we just got to be rooted.
Exactly.
We got to be rooted in the word in order for us to endurance through this tribulation time.
Yeah.
And whoever does will.
Speaking of like how it will end and stuff. So you did say that you think another flood can happen.
Well, not another flood, but it's just like the rise of iniquity. I mean, that's when God is just basically going to decide, okay, this is time. This is it. Because I mean, at the end there, it does say, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for testimony unto all the nations, and then shall the end come.
Okay.
So I don't think it's going to be a flood, because, I mean, God himself said that he would never do that. And that's the reason why he gives the promise, rainbow. the rainbow, you know? And it's so interesting how...
I want to say two things before we... I keep saying we're going to transition, but that Pastor Jim said that along with not flooding the earth, that also means that, like, God isn't going to destroy the earth with an asteroid or, you know, all of these different things. It's going to be the rapture, tribulation period, second coming of Jesus. That's how it ends, in his opinion. And I kind of go along with that, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, because, you know, I brought up about the asteroids because it was like a few weeks ago, Tony Baker, one of these comedians that I follow, he always makes like these videos where it's like he'll show like the picture or whatever, and then he pops up in front of him. He's like, I'm sick of this. Every time the month changes, we got some more BS going on. He was like, take that asteroid and get it out of here. And he's just like, he's just making fun of it. But it's just like, I saw that and I was just like, okay. Well, I remember back in like 2010 or 2012 or whatever, they said asteroid was going to
impact.
And so it's just like, no, it's going to end the biblical way because that's the truth.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to bring up too is, I heard that they're, I guess at Bethel University or something.
Okay.
They have this belief that the tribulation period already happened.
That's funny. That's what the false prophet, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They say the tribulation period already happened. There won't be a rapture. What's going to happen is there's going to be a great revival, the biggest revival in human history. And that's going to get so many people saved that Jesus comes back. That's what they believe. There's this, it's like a rising thought that's starting to go around.
I mean,
and I think that is, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I mean, I believe like in some type of revival because it says when you know,
I'm not
denying that. Yeah, for sure. But I mean, because then where do you leave about the rapture, about
that's what I'm saying.
You know, God, you know, taking people from the deepest part of the ocean and from, you know, how do you explain that, you know?
Right. And then like you was just reading about the disciples when they were asking Jesus, that's because they thought they were in the tribulation period because they saw. Because that was when the early days of the church and stuff, and or one of the scriptures, not that exact scripture. Sorry, my bad.
Okay,
Like I think it was when Jesus came for the 40 days and 40 nights.
Oh, if you're gonna stay, and there it says, I'll be back.
Exactly, and they were asking him. They was like, or maybe they asked Paul. I'm butchering this whole thing. Somebody asked something, and they were like, "Are we in the tribulation period now?" It's like, no, like this is not the tribulation period. It's just the early church was being persecuted for having the Christianity, believing in Christianity,
set a foundation
and
for
stuff,
this.
Setting a foundation. That was not the tribulation.
Which
period,
I mean,
though.
It kind of, dude, it is very interesting though to think because I mean, it here says that many nations shall rise and they shall, you know, they'll kill you for my name's sake, which that happened already, and we've seen it. Like
it's been
happening.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, but. And the reason I talked to my dad about this is like, do you think we're coming close to Jesus coming? And obviously, there's no definite answer. We cannot say, oh yeah, yeah. But the thing is that it's very interesting how this stuff are happening so frequently.
Yeah, and then here's another thing too. People keep getting the second coming and the rapture mixed up.
Yeah,
the rapture happens first.
That's right.
Then there's the tribulation period. Then the second coming of Jesus, because that's when it talks about
he
goes against all these armies and stuff.
Yeah.
And he literally is just
Armageddon,
killing all of them with his tongue, with what he's saying.
Yeah. Like
Like if you look in the book of Revelation,
all
he's doing is speaking and people are like exploding and stuff. Like it's like,
well, we're coming back with him because the second coming, he's coming as a dude that like a boss, like he owns
Lord. We're literally just coming to bear witness. That's the way I've heard it.
I don't know. Yeah. Or maybe
we're
just
coming
be
just
part
to
of
watch.
It too.
Or yeah, maybe
kill some demons.
Anyway. All right. We are officially transitioning
out
of Armageddon and the end times and stuff. What I want to do now is I just want to lift people up and edify people so you don't even have to experience the tribulation period. So you won't be left behind like those terrible, you know,
movies
and what? I've never seen that stuff. No,
dude, I wasn't. So weird.
I was raised in the church, but didn't care. And so, people, and I see like the at church, I will find the little booklets around in random places that people left, and it's just like these super condemning little booklets and stuff that like are on the lines of like the Left Behind series and stuff, and it's like, But that's not the right way to go about. You don't want to put fear in people's hearts.
No.
Because, I mean, like the scripture said, man's hearts will fail them out of fear. So what I thought it would be good to do is just like, for anybody who hasn't heard, I thought it'd be good for me to reshare my story about how I got saved. And So basically I grew up in church. As I said, I didn't care. I cared nothing about God or Jesus, didn't even understand it. So, and I was always ready to go home,
right,
you know, after being drugged to church by my mom. So I didn't really care, but I kind of had a feeling that there was a God,
right?
Jesus, I didn't understand the whole thing. I thought it was the same person. So it wasn't until 2015, I got saved at Living Word Christian Center. And the reason I got saved is because a mixture of two different specific sermons that I heard. One was from Pastor Jim Hammond, where he talks about it's the Chatterbox or something, I think is the name of his sermon, where basically he talks about how all the thoughts in your mind are not your own. The devil can influence an unsaved person. He can influence a Christian too.
Yeah.
But usually Christians are able to recognize that and, you know, move that to the side or rebuke that back to the pit of hell where it belongs. And so once I heard that, I was like, so you mean to tell me like my thoughts of suicide and all of that stuff was like, that wasn't even me. That was the devil influencing me. So that helped me to kind of, start realizing like, hey, that's not all me. Like those negative thoughts, like I can think positive thoughts and those thoughts are from God or influenced by God. Exactly. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then so, but then I still didn't understand how they say God hates sin, but he loves a sinner. I was like, that is the dumbest thing to me. I've heard that since I was a kid. That makes no sense. So how is that? So then Andrew Womack came to Living Word and he explained that we are three part beings. So we have a spirit, soul, and a body.
Yeah.
Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. You have a body, you know, and your spirit is the part that goes to heaven or hell. Okay. And people get the spirit and soul confused all the time. I know I did. I thought it was the same thing. And it's not the same thing because, again, your soul is your mind, will, emotions, you know, what you think, how you feel, you know, like what.
That is
what you want to do or what you, you know, feel the urge to do, I guess, in a way or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And so your spirit, once you get saved, your spirit is recreated. And that is the part of you that where the Bible refers to you as you are made in the image of God. And so your spirit looks like God. You know, or even to a degree, your body, like like the body part of you too. But the main thing is your spirit. And you can get to a point where God dwells in your mind. Like he can like almost, you can get to the point where you almost like willingly give yourself over, like your whole being to God. To the point where, like the scripture says, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives through me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, yeah, like you can get to that point where you don't even, it's like almost like you're having an out of body experience, I would imagine. You know, it's like you're conscious there, but it's like you just have,
a whole
you have
dimension.
Given yourself so well,
think,
over to.
The thing my dad says is like you can be, you can, your feet could be on earth, but your spirit would be out of earth. Like
exactly.
You can
astral projection.
You can definitely be here on earth, but your spirit is just very intact with him. But
and by the way, I don't know if that this is probably a bad time to bring that up, but I don't know if that term astral projection is like a scientific word or something. I learned that word from Insidious. So it's probably a bad time to mention that. But anyway, I imagine it's almost like that, but the best version of that.
I don't know.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So I heard Andrew Womack break down spirit, soul, and body. I was like, all right, well, I don't need to think about this anymore. I'm going to go ahead and get saved. Got saved. And I think about now, like, how was I living without Christ?
Right.
How was I living without God? Like, I don't know how I made it through this world without him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people have a purpose, and that goes to a whole different topic as well. But I feel like God really selects the ones. I mean, obviously, his hope, his goal is to have everybody saved.
Like, I just brought this up the other day. Reinhard Bonnke, he used to say, he was a German evangelist. He said he wanted his goal to be hell empty and heaven full. That's God's goal.
That is God's goal, but unfortunately, sometimes
there's always free will, and there's
the thing that sometimes really questions me is like, okay, God knows it all, so he does know who is gonna go to heaven and who's not, which is, I'm sure it just troubles him and grieves him in a way, but
and the thing I don't understand is like it says, I've heard a lot of people say that when you die, if you're not saved, you are given the choice right there in that moment before you die if you want to go to heaven or hell, if you're willing to accept Jesus into your heart, almost. I've heard that in some cases. In some cases, not every person that dies.
Well, like those people that like die and they bring them back to life.
Yeah.
And then, is that what you mean? I mean, I believe that.
There
but
was
not like,
there was one story I heard about this guy, and like he was a comedian, and like his whole thing was like to talk the worst about God.
Mm.
Like he was blasphemous and everything.
Right.
And someone said that I forgot who was telling the story, but like I guess there was somebody who was, he got into a car crash when he died,
right?
And they were watching him laying on the ground like about to die. And he was looking at someone that nobody else could see. And then like, when he died, he smiled, and like that person feels like he might've been talking to an angel or something. And the angel might've given him the choice. Like might've been like, are you willing? Like said the prayer of salvation with him almost.
I mean, you know? I don't know. I mean, it's all those crazy mysteries that we don't know.
That's what
but
I'm saying.
Like, I mean, it could, I don't know. Because you know, until your last breath, I mean, you have the decision to like decide whether you want to go to him or not.
But my thing is, the reason why I brought that up, I just find it crazy, like how some people will just be like, no, I refuse to accept Jesus into my heart. Like the fact that people say that is just, it's crazy to me. Like, I don't understand.
But I feel like many of them, they have a very bad experience. I mean, you know, our goal is to basically try to influence people in seeing life and seeing Christianity in a whole different perspective that is not about judgment, is not about you being judged. And like you said, love, I mean, God loves, he hates sin but loves a sinner, which he does. I mean, our goal is to bring hope onto, no matter all this stuff that are going on, we still, as of now, have the opportunity to accept him
Yeah.
And basically, I mean, if we tried so many things in life, like I'm sure we tried, you know, drugs, tried all these crazy stuff, like all this crazy, nasty stuff that you can never think of.
Yeah.
Why not give it a chance?
Yeah.
And to love and getting to know God. And the thing is, I feel the trick especially is to be well-rooted and well-educated onto what you're doing. Because a lot of people can believe or say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but yet
they don't lack live the foundation and they don't live.
Or take things out of context. And then that's the reason why we start having all this.
Having no tribulation period and all of that.
I feel like the reason why, you know, the world it is where it is, because most of the things have been built based on biblical principles. But as a person, we always, like us, our sinful ways are very selfish and prideful. And that's the reason why we had slavery, using the word, and justifying what we do. All these Christian people, you know, judging and discriminating, you know, different genders, LGBT community, all those crazy things, or just even sinful people. And it's because of that, because you start to believe in something and you believe it on your own way and how you like it. But if you're not educated, you're not going to bring anything good to the table.
Right.
But.
And so I want to kind of, you know, I'm not going to necessarily say a prayer.
Yeah.
But I do want to go through the steps of like salvation.
Yeah.
And basically all you do to accept Jesus into your heart is you acknowledge that he died on the cross for our sins.
Yeah.
He was raised
from the dead.
From the dead within 3 days. I mean, you don't even have to add that.
Or just know that you
just know that he was raised from the dead. I know a lot of people, you know, it's funny because like a lot of preachers, they always put that 3 days in there for some reason. But that's not the the thing is. He died on the cross for our sins. He was raised from the dead. And you just repent. You just, you know, ask for forgiveness for all your sins. Because until you have Jesus in your heart, you are a sinner. That's just how it is. Like, you are a sinner.
Because
of Adam. And let's not forget about Eve. They both dropped the ball.
Well, Eve first, so.
Whatever. They screwed up.
Anyways, but
I can't
because of the original sin.
Yeah. So anyway, we're getting off track here, but you repent for your sins, you ask him for forgiveness, ask him into your heart, ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and that's it. And then you just thank him and in all your ways acknowledge him, even the bad times moving forward, forgetting about the past too, because there's no punishment for you once you have Jesus in your heart. That's it.
You become a new creation.
You are a new creation, a new being in Christ.
That's right.
And it's a done deal. You're his. You know.
Yeah. And I mean, and why would you not want to live a successful life?
Right.
Because one thing that we're talking about, we are born as sinners.
Yeah.
And the goal for the devil is to basically kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, like, our flesh is ready to kill us.
Right.
Because of all this addiction and whatever. And, right. And the devil never wants for anyone to know the truth and what they can become, reaching their full potential and the reason why they are living in this world. Because... Mm-hmm. That would basically mean more headache for him and less people going to hell.
Right.
But once you get to know God, I mean, and the thing that a lot of, I think, is the misconception is that, oh, yeah, you accept Jesus Christ and all your problems are wiped away. Everything is good. All dandy and fun.
Right.
But the benefit of this is that you have someone that you can rely your faith in, rely your trust, and no matter whatever problem you got a way out. You got a solution. And know that God, he's always there, because he, in his word, says that he will not put any type of problem that you cannot handle.
You can't handle. Yeah, he won't give you more than you can bear.
And the thing is that he is more like a training session. Like he trains, yeah. He trains you to become the person that he wants you to be.
Yep. Yep.
That's the way how I see it.
The way that he knows you need to be.
Yeah.
You know, what's best for you is nothing but your best interest. It's not like, you know, he just wants you to, I don't know. It's the way that you need to be, basically. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
And so that's all we got for y'all. Yeah. I do want to say, cause this, I'm kind of on this, like, almost like a campaign to just kind of edify people. Cause I don't know, something happened to my heart over the weekend, because, it's just like, I don't want to see people. I don't want to not see people in heaven. I guess that's the way I can put it. Like, I want to see everybody that I know in heaven. I don't want to lose anybody to, the lake of fire and to eternal damnation. I want to see everybody that I know in heaven. And, so basically I'm going to recommend this sermon, that I heard over the weekend. Actually, I went to the service. No More Wrath from God by Jim Hammond. You can look it up on YouTube. And it's just, it was a great, reminder, and it was just refreshing to hear. And, it just kind of gave me like, a boost, I guess, to just, you know, So once again, there is a sermon on YouTube by Jim Hammond called No More Wrath from God. I highly recommend that you guys listen to it. And, that's it.
Yeah, guys. Hey, if you guys want to debate or question our whatever we said, please reach out.
I'm open to it.
And obviously bring clarity to things, because I know these times a lot of people are very defensive.
Right.
If there's any clarity that you guys want us to go through or whatever, definitely let us know. Reach out.
Let's not give
us your point of view.
Yeah, let's not just debate just for the sake of debating. Let's get to the truth, you know, and let's respect one another as we debate. Probably isn't even the right word.
Just
let's
converse,
discuss. Yeah,
and honestly, at the end of the day, there's only one absolute truth.
Exactly.
And but yet you still have you. Everybody has their own opinion, their own mind, their own thinking, their own decision. Whatever you want to do, perfect. Whatever I want to do, it's all right. But if there's a way where you can go ahead and talk, come to a common ground, more than happy to do so.
Yeah. So, but, Instagram, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. I'm going to be working to get us on Google Podcast also, apparently they have a podcast app now. Wow. So Google Podcast also coming soon. Not yet, but it will be coming.
Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter.
We don't have Snapchat, Facebook, or Twitter. But yeah. So
yeah, guys.
Yeah. Also, we have Spotify playlist.
Oh yeah.
You can check that out. We have a link for it in our bio on our Instagram. And I think that's it.
Yes, sir.
That's pretty much it.
Awesome, guys. Well, stay safe. Thank you for tuning in.
And remember that
the choice is yours.
So make sure you make the right choice.
That's right.
That has been Eric. That
has been Trey.
And I have been Trey. And we are out of here.
Peace.